Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Apologies for the late start. I'm not sure what happened. He was supposed to be doing the conference today, but thank you for those of you that are still here. As I said, the lines are open, so you don't actually need to do the whole star thing that we've been running previously. So if anybody does want to speak and make any comments, then please do interrupt me, and hopefully we might have a bit of a conversation. I did it last week, and no one spoke to me, so I felt a little bit lonely. So please do interact. That's what Safety Hour is all about. So I'm just starting to run through a bit of the material from last week and what's gone on. So we had 92 close calls reported last week, which is better than the previous week when we were a little bit below. So it's good to please continue to report close calls when you come across them. Just a reminder to people that the line is open, so we are hearing you. If you want to put it on mute, it's not talking. So safety hour attendance were down a little bit as well last week, so people can make sure that their reportees are having the safety hour. So that it's been reported through, so you've got the app to report through when people are having a safety hour and the emails. We've got one incident storyboard, which was a manual handling injury, which happened with a member of the welding and grinding team when they were taking a trolley off the track. So it could have been anybody from a team that's has to handle anything really, and lots of people out there are handling trolleys. So again, it's just highlighting the manual handling issues we have. We're working towards getting manual handling training rolled out across everybody in the route, and that is something that hopefully will help to make sure that people know how to lift things correctly, and reinforcing that a lot of it's hopefully the guys are aware of how to lift, but it's just about reinforcing and refreshing some of those messages and making sure people are up to most recent best practices. So the storyboard just actually covers the underlying cause in this incident was that the person has turned and twisted while they're moving the equipment. That's one of the biggest causes of manual handling is lifting and turning, which puts obviously extra strain on people's spine, and that's resulted in them spraining their back and having time away from work to recover. So please have a review of that, and I think about in a conversation with people in the team that are manual handling. Manual handling goes for people in offices as well, and in terms of thinking about lifting, it's more of an issue in terms of people in offices are less likely to be doing it as frequently or potentially to have even had training on it. So that can also be quite a big issue because of there's less inclination to think about how you're lifting. Whereas on track, it's obviously happening more frequently. So we've got one of these safety bulletins which has come out nationally, which is actually a refresh on the Saxelby incident from 3 years ago. Bear with me a second while I'm just opening up what's been what I've sent out for this, because I'm not prepped for doing the call. So this is a really good refresh from the shared learning here on Saturday, which happened 3 years ago, where one of our colleagues, Scott Dobson, died, and the lessons learned from that were covered in there, and we're just trying to make sure that not having that fade over time. So it's really useful, and something I want to see to do with some local incidents on the route as well, is just making sure we're not losing those lessons, because we're very good at looking and reacting to something, and they're not necessarily having a memory to refresh as to why it was important to work the way we should be, because things like this can happen. So I'll just read through some of this. It's just we'd like to challenge ourselves, your team, and managers how we have to learn from underlying causes of Scott's death, and he misreported last year at Liverpool indicate that inadequate safe system of work are sometimes still used. So in this incident, Scott was the cost for a work group. They were snagging at the site of a newly installed track underbridge. They drove to the access point and briefed the safe system of work. The track quality supervisor identified remedial works that required to timber sleepers voiding on the down line. So working within the line blockage of the down line, they initially worked and assessed before moving across to work with vibrating hammers and shovels in the 6 foot. So as soon as they'd moved into that area, this safe system work pack hadn't considered that, so it didn't protect that part of the work, and there wasn't a line block on the adjacent line. So as a consequence of that, the pack not having considered that and gone into that area, and no one challenging that, the work had moved outside of the safe system of work and led to this fatal incident. So it's just kind of a reminder to make sure that your work packs are suitable for the job that's being asked to undertake, and if there is any need to vary from it, to make sure that we're stopping work and, if necessary, making work safe.
You have a job. Why wouldn't you have a job?
Some of the key messages in there that I'll need to kind of lead through, but that's kind of the overriding thing, is that I just encourage people to challenge things. As I said last week in my call, if something doesn't seem quite right and you've got a concern, it's probably worth voicing that. There's a little voice somewhere in there saying this isn't right, and it's just a question of vocalising that and asking the question and creating that conversation. Implementing the work safe procedure, and this just kind of rams it home as to why that is just so important. Okay, so other material we've got this week is, again, well, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, was the Boga short circuit straps that have been found to be out and about there. So the document that's been sent out as part of safety hour material has got some pictures of the clamps and the differences between the bogus ones which don't fit correctly and the actual ones, and this is about the issue that they... And the bogus ones can fall off, so they're not being secured fully onto the rails. If they fall off, obviously, then you don't no longer have your protection from the short-circuiting straps. So really important to get that out there, and the document has got some good images there showing how you can identify the bogus ones if you've got any out and about. I've not heard of any being on Wessex. I don't know if anyone on the call's got any... feedback on whether we've had any in Wessex at all, but I've certainly not heard of any coming back to me. Okay, moving on, we've got a kind of toolbox talk on respecting our neighbours. So this is about the impact we can have on our neighbours, and we have a lot of complaints from members of the public or line-side neighbours, which teams worked really hard to reduce those down. We had a really high number. I think just last week went below 3 digits in terms of our complaints we have in the route, and so that's really good work in working to reduce them to stop us getting new complaints and further ones. It's really important that we kind of have a look at this and make sure when we're out and about, we're considerate of those around us. So there's a bit about there about noise, keeping that to a minimum. It's really easy. I've done it myself where you're parked up on a night and end up talking and you're right next to some houses and just stopping and thinking, well, actually there's some people asleep there, probably don't appreciate you talking outside the house. So it's very easily done, but just making sure that those kind of things are considered. When we're locating noisy equipment, such as generators and things, just considering where we can place them to reduce the impact we're having on people around. Again, also lighting, and so light pollution can cause an issue, so we need to make sure our work sites are correctly lit with the right level of lighting to make sure it's safe. There's standard lighting levels that we should be meeting to make sure we've got a safe work environment for the workforce, which is the most important thing in terms of workforce safety, but also considering how we're pointing those lights, can we adjust them so that we still have the right lighting levels but aren't causing problems for the neighbours as well as the noise there. So we've also got in here about litter and rubbish, so making sure we leave a clean work site and away from the work site as well, make sure we take away all our rubbish and clear things up, report any that's been dumped and some things could get dealt with and removed. A little bit there about fumes and smells, that's about positioning the equipment a little bit and making sure the machinery is also properly maintained and isn't putting out excessive fumes. A little bit there about access parking, make sure you're parking safely and not obstructing ways in private property. And as I've just been saying along, especially with night work, people locally need to sleep. So we're really considerate about those kind of things. So it's kind of mixed in with kind of some of the safety things and just thinking about what we're doing to make sure we're considerate as well as working safely as we go through our day-to-day activities out there. On material again. So in the last week, we've had a few incidents, one of which was the manual handling injury that we worked through on the storyboard. We had two more workforce injury incidents. One was Woking, where I remember the P-Way had a metal heel bar fell on top of their left foot at Woking Yard, responding to a bruise, and it was fallen off of a flatbed van, I believe, when they've opened it and hit them on the foot. So it's about kind of storage and are we loading vans and vehicles up correctly and making sure that once we've travelled, sort of checking that things haven't moved in transit and it's safe to progress. And all these incidents happened last Sunday on the 29th, so it was a great day, but that was the next one was at Eastleigh. That's that member of S&T slipped on leaves and that's caused his left knee suffered quite a bad cut in his left kneecap when it hit a crossing lid at Dorchester. So that's most of the material for this week. Something that probably will come up next week is I think it was this Sunday or yesterday morning, we've had a road traffic incident where one of our vans has spun out on the N27 following a blowout of one of the tyres. I'll be sending hopefully some update on that either next week or in the week after safety hour. But we're just pulling together the storyboard for that. But it's just reiterating the importance really at this stage. We're still looking into what's gone on of making sure that we're doing our pre-use checks on vehicles. There's the pre-use check app available in the Wessex App Store, so please do download that and encourage your team to download that. The app actually works you through the pre-use checks on vehicles, and it then submits a PDF of the check to the person doing it and also to a copy here into the line manager, so it's a good way for line managers to be able to track the pre-use checks have been done on vehicles. And I'm not saying it hadn't been done on this vehicle, but one of the best ways to stop blowouts and things is to make sure we're doing the pre-use checks, which includes checking tyres inflated and don't have any damage, any nails in them, any tyre wall damage. These are the kind of things that can generally lead to blowouts, especially if you're going on the motorway, the higher speed you're going to do, the more likely you are to have a blowout if the tyre heats up and it's going around fast, obviously. The guys were lucky in some respects that it wasn't more serious as got damage to the vehicle as well, but both the guys that were in the van have got a whiplash injury, so they're also off. So it's really important that we're maintaining vehicles and making sure we're doing those checks on them, because it could obviously be a much more serious if with our vehicle then as it pan out, we come in contact with a lorry or something, then it's really kind of important that we're thinking about these things when we're making sure we're doing all these checks to try and minimise the possibility of it happening to anyone else. And it's one of our biggest risks is rogue risks from these kind of things. So just really reinforce the need to make sure that everybody's doing pre-use checks on their vehicles. Has anyone got any thoughts, comments, issues they'd like to raise, not necessarily related to the material going through here at all? Anybody at all? Deadly silence again. Anybody left? Okay, if no one's got anything to say, then I'll close the call off this week and say thank you for staying on for those of you that have stayed on. Apologies that no one was on for the call initially. And I'll leave it at that then, unless anyone's got anything else. Okay, thanks very much, everybody. That ends the call.